story and something about the lead character or the plot just grabs you and you're like, I can relate, that's me. And that's this story that we're going to go through now. And this is a parable, so it's a story Jesus told to illustrate and make a point in a way that we can kind of remember. Sorry, just going to quickly get a stopwatch going here. Cool, so we're going to read the story of the prodigal son today. So it's Luke 15, verses 11 to 31. So that's going to go up there. And we'll read through it and then we'll break it down a bit. So Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And so he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he'd spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father says to his servants, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And I love this. This parable is set in the middle of a couple of stories that Jesus tells. He's been accused by the Pharisees, who are sort of the religious leaders of the day, for hanging out with and eating with sinners. And so they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, why are you hanging out with these guys? And so Jesus gives this response to them. And he tells basically three stories. He tells one about a lost sheep, one about a lost coin, and then one about this lost son. But they all sort of follow a similar narrative. Something is lost, and it's missed, and it's looked for, and it's found, and then there's a party. There's joy and excitement. And but what's amazing is that this story is slightly different, because it shows the real depths of the misery of the son who is lost. It shows his sort of journey to repentance and how he gets back to this place of repentance. And then the depths of the joy of the father is also displayed at having found this son again. So what that party looks like, and kind of the feelings and emotions behind it. But what I love most of all is that this story starts actually with the father. It starts with this inheritance. It was this thing that the son had no right to. He hadn't earned it. He didn't deserve it. But just this father who loves him. So it starts in verse 12. It says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And that's, like, for me, that's my life. My life was this gift, this inheritance that God gave to me that I'd done nothing to deserve. I had no control over being born. I had no control over kind of anything that came to me. But it was this amazing gift that God gave to me. And so James 1 verse 17 to 18, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The NLT says, we out of all creation become his prized possession. It's this kind of, like, he comes and he gives us this beautiful life. But sin comes into this world. Sin grabs a hold of us. Verse 13 to 15, if we read through that quick. It says, not many days later, the younger son, so it didn't even take him that long. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he'd spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he takes this beautiful free gift, this inheritance that God's given him, that his father's given him, and he goes and he wastes it. And it's just so sad to me, like, to have this thing and just go and sort of squander it off. And that's what sin is. It's just walking away from God. It's going and kind of squandering the things that he's given us and entrusted us with. And that's what the son does. But sin, unfortunately, has consequences. And if we carry on reading in verse 15, it says he had to go out and hire himself out to one of the citizens of that country. So the things that God had given him, he's now wasted. Now consequences starting to catch up, and it does. I remember with my life as well, consequences catch you. You know, I remember a bit of my story. I was this kind of violent, promiscuous, drunkard, addict, thief. I was just this mess of a person, and eventually you can live that way for a while, and it can be great. But eventually, those consequences, they back up and they pile up and they come and they catch you. And so in verse 15, it says, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Some of the other translations where it says he went and hired himself out, it says he went and bound himself to one of the citizens of that country. And that's how it works. You can serve God or you can serve the world. There's no middle ground. There's no half in one and half in the other. It's kind of, who was it? I think Bob Dylan, I think, sang a song. It said, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And it's so true. And what is so cool, to understand the kind of depths where this guy landed up, you need to understand the role of pigs in Jewish culture. And they were despised. They were these filthy animals. They were hated. They were taboo. They were loathed. A lot of Jews, they didn't even call them by name. They would call them Devar Asher, literally another thing. They wouldn't even call them by name. They were so sif. And you couldn't even touch something that a pig had touched. Yet here's the son who is looking at the food that the pigs eat and thinking, it's looking like a good option to me right now. And that paints some kind of picture of you of where this guy was at, just the depths and the consequences to which his sin had taken him. And Ravi Zacharias sums up sin and its consequences for us so well. He says, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And that's how it is. It starts small, but it's the slippery slope that you just land up stuck in. But luckily for us, that's not where the story ends. There's this way out of this place. And it comes through repentance. So in verse 17 to 20, we get that up there. It says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And that's where sin, that's where repentance starts. It starts with this awareness of, man, this isn't what my life is supposed to look like. This isn't how it should be. Somewhere I've gone wrong. I've missed it. And you'll know when you're there. You'll know that kind of feeling of, I've missed it and I've really messed up. And he realizes the only thing he can do is go and cast himself on his father's mercy. And I love just his heart, this place where he is. He's like, I'm not even worthy to be a son anymore. But man, like, even if I just get a position as a servant in my father's house, I'm going to be better off than where I am. But what I love, the part of the story that just really sort of breaks me is, here's this guy who thinks being a servant to my father's house, literally just being able to sleep indoors and eat scraps from the table, is going to be better where I am than where I'm now. And so he goes with this expectation. He thinks, if I can just get back and be the servant, like, I'm going to be okay. And he goes in almost with such a low expectation, deservedly. I mean, he had squandered an entire inheritance here. So he goes in with this low expectation. But God has such a different perspective on it. And so it goes on to say, if we go to 21 there. So he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And that's just such a cool, his dad doesn't say, hey, where's my money? It's not the dad's first reaction. The dad says, come here. And he grabs him and he comes in close. But what's really beautiful is that the father was waiting says his father was, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. I think this man was sitting there waiting. He always hoped and prayed and dreamed that this son would come home. I don't think he ever gave up and was kind of sitting there, and his son walked in and he was like, oh, hi. He was sitting there and waiting and watching, hoping that one day this boy would come home. And his heart, I think, was always to have his son back, in spite of everything that his son had done. And so his dad feels this incredible compassion, no anger, no resentment, no kind of judgment. He's just like, hey, you're here. But what's really awesome is the father's reaction. So this guy was, we know he had servants, he had land or an inheritance to pass on to his son. So he was obviously a man of some social standing. I think he wasn't just your average middle-class guy. I think there was this expectation, a certain sort of level of decorum that comes with having money and servants. And he could have sent one of his servants out to say, you know, take the horses and go fetch him, or, you know, go and meet him down the road. But instead, this man throws dignity and decorum to the wind, and overcome with joy, this old guy runs down the road. And I just have this amazing picture of this guy in his robe kind of running and sort of robe streaming out, and this old guy just cruising because he sees his son, and he runs up and grabs him and just embraces him and kisses him. It's this instant sort of unrestrained, passionate joy, and just like he's overcome that his son is home. And there's none of this kind of stuff that I would have expected had it been me. Like, you know, we're going to sit down and have an accounting of what you've done and where you've been. And it's like, no, you're my boy and you're here. And he doesn't sort of hold him at arm's length or send him to his room or any of these kind of things that often our first instinct would be. He just grabs him, this guy who's been wallowing with pigs, and just pulls him in and hugs him with all his filth. And he says, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him, and a ring and put it on his hand, and shoes and put it on his feet. So here comes the son expecting to get overalls as a servant. And his dad says, no, I'm going to give you my best. And I've just got such a cool story of this. Like in my life, I said I was this really just a slave to my own passions and my own flesh as a young man. And just like incredibly kind of promiscuous. And I just really squandered a lot of the really amazing things that God gave me. And then I married this girl. If any of you know my wife, like I got one of his best. She was this picture of virtue. I'd been arrested 3 times by the time I was 18. She was like the head girl and the top student in Natal. It's these two kind of completely just different worlds of people. And I came in with all my baggage and sort of shattered. And she's this girl who's loved and served Jesus faithfully from a young, young age. And for me, it was just this incredible picture to me of God saying, my boy, you really have messed up, because I had. Like, I didn't deserve anything. But he comes and he gives me his best. He's like, here, I love you. Here's my best. And really, like, if you know my wife, you know how amazing she is. And that's just, that's kind of the heart of God, of saying, I think he wanted to prove something to me. Like, my boy, I love you. Like, I'm still, in spite of everything, I'm going to lavish you. And just this robe, sort of the picture of robes and clothes in the Bible, it's always, it's this putting on of identity and of just belonging, and like a ring was a symbol as well, just of belonging, of inheritance. And so this whole restoration just of identity and belonging and worth comes. He puts on sonship instead of slavery onto the son of his again, and brings him in. And he goes on and says, bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And it's a party. It's like this guy is back, and it's a party. Which is such a cool picture. And what's really amazing is that everyone's involved. So the whole household is there, and they're having this party. And that's this picture of heaven. We were singing this morning about this host of angels who, forever and ever, they're singing like, worthy is the Lamb. These incredible, powerful angelic beings, and God himself up there seated on the throne, and one lost son or daughter comes back, and heaven stops and turns around and looks at that person and goes ballistic. literally just this party of a lost son was dead and is alive, has been found again. And to me, that picture is just incredible. And I've often asked myself why. Like, why does all of heaven stop and just erupt with this kind of incredible, unrestrained joy and celebration when one heart returns to Jesus? And it's because of this. We were singing this morning about Jesus, the darling of heaven, crucified. Like, he was the darling of heaven. He was the first son. And God sends him down to settle this debt that you and I can't settle. I was sitting here in worship today and I was reminded, like, one of my years in varsity, for some reason I was given my own tuition and rent money to handle up front. Took me 1 month. Blew it. Literally just like partying and having this kind of, and I remember having like a great time, but then eventually I was like, oh yeah, I still need to actually pay this rent now and pay this tuition. And it was gone. And at that stage as a student, like, I was pretty much always broke except when I had my tuition up front. But at that point, I was broke again and I had no means of getting that money again. And I had this thing coming. I was like, I'm going to have to somehow explain to mom and dad why my student flat is empty and I'm back home and not studying. And it was just enormous. It was this insurmountable amount of money that I had to get. And I remember going home and just telling my parents, and they're like, well, sorry, you know, we gave you the money. You've spent it. There isn't more. And one of my uncles heard the story and kind of stepped in and just said, you know what, it's fine. I'm like, I'll cover it. And I remember that feeling of, I felt like I'd gotten out of jail. It was literally, like, there was no way I was going to settle this thing. And my uncle came in and did it. And this is this picture of what God does. There's this debt that we owe because of our sin, because of the way we've lived our lives, that we cannot settle. It's too great. Even if you've lived the best life, it is too great to settle on our own. And so someone had to pay. And just like in this story, the father gave him the inheritance, the son squandered it, and the father still fitted the bill for that inheritance. And it doesn't make sense. I think as a dad, I hope I would have the same reaction, but like, the worldly part of me is like, no, there's a consequence now, and you got to pay. But the father says, no, let me fit the bill. I want you back. I just want my son back and close again. And sin does this, you know. Sin separates us from God. Sin puts us with the pigs and makes us untouchable. It makes us taboo and kind of filthy. And God comes and he cleanses us. He washes us. He sends the son of his to die and to pay a debt that we can't. We have this imputed holiness and righteousness that comes down because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's why I stand up here now, not worried that someone who knew me 10 years ago might walk in here and see me, because that debt has been paid and I know it. Like, it's this weird thing that makes no sense, but I stand here unashamed, justified, knowing that I didn't settle the debt, but it's still being settled. And I get to stand with my father close and be intimate and loved and treasured by him again. And no, the only person that could have done that was Jesus. He was the only one who could have paid that ransom that our sin demanded and literally buy us back through nothing that we've done, but just because it is his good pleasure as a father just to draw us in and have us close again. And it's just so cool to be able to come back into this place of being close to a loving, caring father. And it's this ongoing journey. You know, I mentioned that like 10 years ago, but even someone who came in 2 years ago and came and see me. It's amazing the things that God does, how he continuously, just as a father, loves and trains and grows and redeems more and more of our lives to the point where I can stand here, literally a sinner, someone who has caused so much damage and hurt and loss, and yet be close to my father again. And I wonder if we could get the band up again quickly.